Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.
Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 30th of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.7%. We'll have the details with Luke McMillan from Affair Asset Management in a few moments as we delve into the top business and finance news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News with two expert interviews. Let's start with that soaring oil price and a warning from my first guest that the real crunch point on oil supply hasn't hit Australia yet. With Houthi forces entering the Middle East conflict at the weekend, threatening passage through the Red Sea, which is the alternate path to the Strait of Hormuz for Saudi oil exports, Brent crude prices jumped yet again today at around $115 at the market close. That's up 8% on the same time Friday. The last time we saw an oil price shock was back in 2022 when, over the space of 5 months, prices catapulted around 75%. But there were two events contributing to that. Strong demand coming out of COVID, which was then compounded by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So since the war in the Middle East started recently, Brent has surged around 60%. But the key difference is that the reaction has been more severe and over a shorter time frame, just 1 month. So where to now? I spoke with Saul Kavanagh, the head of energy research at MST Marquee. So also the oil price has surged around 10% compared with this time Friday as the Houthis enter the conflict. To what extent does this change things or escalate the issues and why?
Well, there's a few compounding factors at play here. So the sign that the Houthis might enter the conflict presents a particular risk because while the Strait of Hormuz is disrupting up to about 20 million barrels of oil a day, what the Saudis have managed to do is divert 7 million barrels away from the Strait of Hormuz to bypass it and instead go through the Red Sea. But to go through the Red Sea, it does bypass Yemen, where the Houthis are based. And if we see the Houthis starting to attack oil tankers, and we must note they have not done so yet, but if they do, then that cuts off this critical alternative route to bypass the Strait of Hormuz and really puts us back to where we were a couple of weeks ago, where we saw the full-scale disruption of close to 20 million barrels a day.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but is there anything we can learn from history? How do you see this playing out and what does it potentially mean for future oil prices then?
Well, I've just come back from a week in the US. We met various officials in the White House and Congress and then many industry leaders in Houston. And I've got to tell you, the feedback I'm getting and hearing is that there seems to be an element of resolve within the US administration that they cannot simply walk away from this war while the Strait of Hormuz is closed. And they cannot allow the Iranian regime to successfully weaponize energy for their own political and military ends. And that suggests that this war is likely to go on for at least a few more weeks yet, if not longer. And that means that we're going to see a sustained disruption to oil supplies, albeit with some mitigating measures. And that's going to have its ricocheting effects across the global economy, including here in Australia. We've just seen the Australian Prime Minister announce some emergency measures to try to tackle that, but there's still a fair way we need to go.
What do you think this means for investors? You mentioned there the potential then for more of a prolonged regional war, because aren't investors trading as if they're expecting the war to wrap up soon?
So I think one of the big changes versus a week ago is a week ago, many investors were believing in the tuco trade that Trump would just kind of pull out, the war would end in a matter of days, if not a couple of weeks, and then we'll just wait for a restart of all the flows to resume again. I think what you're seeing now is the market's waking up to the reality that this war could take a little bit longer at a minimum. And even once the war ends, it's going to take a long time, potentially several weeks, to restart all the volumes that have stopped and been shut in, and years for some of the volumes which have where the infrastructure is being damaged by Iranian attacks, particularly on Qatari LNG and gas-to-liquids infrastructure. And so what is really important to look at is, I know we're really focused on what's the oil price today, But have a look at what the futures curve of the oil price is in a few years' time. And that's now almost $10 a barrel higher than it was pre-war. And what you're starting to see the market realize is this isn't just a short-term shock, but it's going to result in a tighter market for years ahead, even if the war ends tomorrow, which there's no sign that it is. So we're actually in for a bigger shock, which is going to last longer than the market has only expected when this war began and even last week.
All right, so two follow-up questions then. Let's talk about the impact on motorists then and the government. As you alluded to, the government today cutting that fuel excise by half for about 3 months. What's the message then if, as you say, this is going to be a more of a longer-term impact on prices?
So Australia is very vulnerable because we're at the very end of the fuel supply chain. And it's worth bearing in mind, while we are seeing higher prices and some fuel shortages in parts of the country and at some servos, the truth is the real crunch point of the impact on oil supply hasn't hit us yet. We're still receiving fuel, which has come from oil that left the Strait of Hormuz before the war began. That's going to dry up over the next 2 weeks. That's the real crunch point for us here in Australia. And there's a few avenues that the government are going to pursue to mitigate the impact for us. The most important one is to make sure fuel keeps coming to Australia. And so this is a diplomatic effort with our trading partners, particularly with South Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, and China, to make sure we're a priority for the limited amount of fuel exports that they still have. And reminding them that while we are desperately in need of their fuel at a time of a global fuel shortage, they're actually even more desperately in need of our LNG exports at a time of an even bigger liquefied natural gas shortage. And so that's a big diplomatic effort underway, which we hope the government will be successful into keeping Australia a priority for those fuel imports. But to the extent that's not successful, or only partly successful, we then need to look at demand management mechanisms here in Australia. Price is going to be part of the thing, which will help bring down some demand, but we might have to look at some voluntary measures. We're already hearing some sounds about, for example, work from home for government employees, but that can be taken a few steps further. And in the more extreme case, and hopefully we don't get to that point, we may have to have forced demand management or rationing of supplies to make sure our critical economic and service sectors are not disrupted. The last part of this is, which is what you've seen from the government today, is about ameliorating the financial hit, so reducing that fuel excise. I think at this point, that's frankly more of a political message to Australians to show that the government's doing something and recognises the pain here. The truth is, it's actually counterproductive to that second key point about demand management. The more you reduce the taxes on fuel, the more we're actually going to use. And so, I think the priority really needs to be on making sure we've got the fuel available and that it's going into the right places and not being wasted, rather than focusing on price at this point, because this is still going to get worse before it gets better.
The only thing we haven't spoken about, the implication for interest rates. If you're then saying that we have to get used to these higher oil prices and there's still worse to come, what about the potential for interest rates now to go even higher than what the market is expecting?
Well, so typically you would expect the Reserve Bank to look through a near-term oil price shock of a short duration. Now, the problem here is if it ends up being more than just a couple of months' duration, then that calculus really and those historical analogs no longer apply. And we start to see upward pressure on inflation across pretty much every goods and service in our economy. And that's going to put pressure on the Reserve Bank to raise rates and rein in that inflation, keeping in mind we were already not in a great direction inflation-wise before the war began. There's a second and perhaps even more important kind of wake-up call here for Australia, which is while the current disruption to maritime trade in the Middle East is causing this shock for us, in the future we could see big maritime disruptions closer to home in the Pacific, and we don't want to be caught short like we have here on our fuel supply, and we really need to start looking at how can we become more self-sufficient in fuels? Part of that is investing in alternatives to fuels, but a big part of that is reinvesting in our refining infrastructure and, importantly, going back to the way we were 20, 30 years ago, where we actually produced enough oil of our own and refined enough of our oil so that when these global shocks do happen, we're insulated and we're still okay, because the next shock could be even worse than this one. And this is the wake-up call for Australia to make sure we never put in such a vulnerable situation again.
And just to clarify, so if you're saying that part of the prices that we're seeing at the petrol pump, right, is still being influenced pre-war, as some of the oil tankers came in through to Australia, does that imply that prices will continue to rise at the petrol pump, ignoring the impact of the discount on the fuel levy? I mean, could it rise to about $3? We're seeing them at the moment at 2.50, for example.
So international prices flow directly through to Australia. The lag effect from the Middle East supply is more about the availability rather than the price. And the real risk here, I know everyone's hurting with what they're paying at the bowser, but the real risk here is if we get to the point we can't get fuel at any price, which is much, much worse than paying a high price. But there's every indication that prices go higher. We're expecting them to. And what I probably would highlight is we're all focused on that global Brent oil price number, around $110, $115 at the moment. But actually, some prices are already at $130, $140 a barrel, particularly to replace some of those kind of sour crudes coming out of the Middle East. So that's actually going to start flowing through to us as well. Prices are actually, for a lot of grades of fuel, already significantly higher than that headline price. And I expect they're going to track higher over the next few weeks as what is still a financially driven price marker becomes a physical driven price marker and reflects the shortages that are actually there structurally in the global supply chain.
Tech stocks fell. Concerns those higher oil prices will feed through to inflation and thus higher interest rates hitting the sector. The Australian dollar at 68.7 US at the market close. Now, despite all the uncertainty and what's likely to be the biggest disruption to oil markets in recent memory, the ASX 200 is down just 8% since the start of the war about a month ago. So are investors being a little too optimistic? To find out, I spoke with Luke McMillan, the head of research at Affair Asset Management. Luke, firstly, do you think investors or the market are discounting the threat of a prolonged war in the Middle East?
Yeah, I think that's one of the key questions we're all facing at the moment, right? Greatest disruption in terms of oil supply really in history. Equity markets across the board down kind of 8 to 10%, and everyone's asking themselves, is that enough? Should they be down further from what we've seen so far? What we've seen in terms of hedge fund positioning in the US is they have lightened up their positioning. They've increased some of their shorts, but we haven't had kind of a full capitulation moment in equity markets yet. And I think that's the question that everyone's thinking about. Do we have to wait for that to happen before we can get a more serious rebound?
So can you run us through how it's currently being played out of the market? Because we know that oil stocks are climbing and today it's banks and techs taking a hit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you look at this month, the only sector really, whether that's the US or here in Australia, that's up is oil. We've had aluminium stocks up today as well after there were news reports on the weekend about some Iranian strikes in the Gulf to some facilities there. Yes, their share prices go up as supply gets hit, but I think longer term, while higher prices might help you if you're supplying that commodity, you don't want it to go on too long or just go into any EV dealership here in Australia at the moment. You can see what people do in terms of switching away from your commodity if they think it's going to go on too long.
So if the market's now contemplating the potential for this conflict to go a bit longer than expected, we're seeing that oil price stay remain elevated, petrol prices remaining elevated too. Is there a real threat then that the RBA will have to lift rates more aggressively than first thought? I know we've just heard from the chief economist at Westpac, Lucy Ellis, which says she's expecting at least three more rate rises, taking it to 4.85%, the official cash rate. What's the market saying? And this potential for rate rises, is it just in Australia or at the very least in the US? Is it, they were talking about rate cuts there for a while. That rate cut, is that being pushed out further into the future there?
Yeah, sure. It keeps going up, I guess, in terms of the expected amount of rate hikes here in Australia. The market have been looking at kind of a further two and a half, and certainly, where we sit at the moment, and the longer this war goes on, certainly three is not out of the question. And Australia's not alone here. If you look at market pricing for the UK Central Bank, the European Central Bank, They meet in about a month's time at the end of April, and market pricing has about a 50% chance that they increase rates at those meetings. And yes, while the US has gone from basically having cuts baked in over the next few months, They've now gone back to basically kind of neutral pricing. We're saying that the market just thinks that the Fed is going to keep interest rates where they are for the foreseeable future. They're basically just throwing their hands up in the air and saying, we don't know whether they're going to go up or down in the near term. But the calculus is the longer this goes on and the higher the oil price stays, the greater the probability that inflation expectations become unanchored and that central banks have to do more work to put rates up to make sure that those expectations don't move higher from here.
And I know that you guys at AFEAR predominantly look at the small end of town at the markets, but what kind of questions are you fielding from your clients? I mean, are they worried about the direction of the markets at the moment, and what are you telling them?
Yeah, and I think it's only natural to be worried about it. Everyone kind of knows that higher oil prices mean higher petrol prices. They mean higher prices for lots of different goods where, you know, oil is an input or LNG or fertilizer, you know, other items that are having their supply restricted out of the Gulf at the moment. And that acts as a tax on growth. And if it goes on for long enough and they stay high for long enough, you know, people start talking about the R word in terms of recession probabilities. We think there's a few more ballasts going on in the US economy at the moment to help offset that. You know, you've had 175 basis points worth of rate cuts over the last 18 months in the US. You've got tax cuts for both households and businesses flowing through at the moment. And you've got, you know, a productivity surge coming out of AI. So there is a few offsets there. But, you know, clearly this is, you know, risk number one for the market and bears watching.
Of SBS Good News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. We'll chat then. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and professional before making any financial decision.
Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.